Hey, what's going on, everybody? You're listening to Segue Station. This man has a nickname, always allowed to say with no shame. Tuesday, October 5th, 2021. Hope all is well out there, everybody. Hope everyone's staying safe. Nick Segling in here. You're listening to Segue Station Podcast. Yesterday was a bit whack trying to post on my Instagram page for the podcast. Had Chew, Smats the Stats Kid, and Barry out in Queens come through and talk some sports yesterday. Had to do so old school as my Twitch stream was not connected. Obviously, everyone knows about Instagram, Facebook, and I believe FaceTime. A bunch of stuff down. Barry said it was the aliens. Maybe he's on to something. Anyhow, I'm back today. Hopefully, everything's up and running. Rich is about to stop by here any minute. We got some sports to get into. Obviously, NBA preseason. Want to touch on a few things in the NBA with Rich. Hit a few things in the NFL and clean up a few things from yesterday. Looking forward to having Rich coming through. Much love for Chew and Barry coming through yesterday. You can catch yesterday's pod, as always, out on Spotify, Podbean, and a few other platforms. Should be up and running on my Twitch stream today. It's _Segue_G. You can always check out the podcast there. So I got plenty of good takes to get into today with Rich. Had some good takes yesterday trying to get the pod back up and going. Hopefully get some posts going on Instagram. As always, I'm on Instagram at Segue Station. You can check me out there. See what I'm talking about here on the podcast. Always appreciate all love and support for it. Plenty to get to in the sports world. Looking forward to having Rich come through for sure. Right now, it's time for Straight Talk. Brought to you by Segue Straight Talk Microphone. It's always direct. Time to reflect. Should be a good pod today. Good pod yesterday with Hugh and Barry. Plenty to get to and clean up from yesterday as kind of been all over the place with the podcast, but really appreciate anybody who follows along and checks in on it. Trying to put out some good content. Really enjoy talking sports, everything going on in sports, and everything kind of going on in this social media driven era with not only the vaccine and COVID, but sports and everything that kind of goes along with sports and sports talk. Very passionate about all that. Got a lot more time to do that now. Looking forward to starting up a new job here in about a month, though, as well. So, got a lot on my plate, trying to get a lot done here at the house. Pretty much turning into a stay-at-home puppy dad. And obviously, still dealing with all my personal issues. Don't want to turn my podcast into a therapy session. Feel like I've done that before. But I do appreciate all the people that check up on me, follow along, not only with my sports takes, but what's going on in my life. And it means a lot to me to be able to come out and still do my podcast, everything I've kind of been through and kind of where I'm at. Definitely means a lot. So should be fired up to get in some takes today, Rich. I'm sure I'll be interested to talk about some of the takes I have in the NBA forum. Should be a good show right here. Segue Station Podcast. Creeping up on 215 career episodes. Starting season 9 as it's October, Domestic Violence Awareness Month, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and my mom's birthday was in October, so a lot of meaningful times for me during this time. Shout out to Breast Cancer Awareness and everything that the Awareness Months provide. All that stuff means a lot to me, and so do sports. Looking forward to touching on them today. Let's do it.
A shout out for this one. I won't give you any shout out on the injury, because it's ridiculous to say he came in taking Fitzpatrick because of the injury. But Taylor Heinicke has looked pretty good, and it's not insane to say he's looked better than Fitzpatrick maybe would have looked so far. So
yeah, I got a couple good shout-outs to get in. Justin Herbert, I was on the money with that. I've certainly been wrong about some. That Brady-Belichick game, we got to get into that for sure, because you said he was going to throw for 5 touchdowns. A lot of this people, oh, it's in the rain, all this.
He's
played plenty of games. Oh, you definitely said that.
Okay.
I had you down for that. And, they should have lost that game. That was pretty wild. There was a lot of good football games this weekend. I was watching a little NBA preseason last night. You got MLB playoffs tonight, Red Sox-Yankees. I want to touch on that quick. Just wanted to give a quick shout-out also to Bubba Wallace, who won a Cup Series race yesterday at Talladega. It was rain-shortened, so a lot of internet controversy when it comes to that, which is just BS, because there's plenty of dudes that have won rain-shortened races, and no one says anything. But now, all of a sudden, since it's only the second black driver to win a NASCAR Cup Series race, first one since Wendell Scott in 1963, on Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin's team is Bubba Wallace. So wanted to give him a quick shout out. Also his emotional press conference afterwards.
He was just a year after being in his locker, right?
Yeah, same location as that. It's just all kind of wild how things come full circle when you're talking sports, when you're following some of these headlines in the sports world. And you know, we've been doing so for a while. I think it's pretty sweet, and that's why, you know, we can kind of catch up on things we are certainly right and certainly wrong about. Rich, I wanted to touch quickly on this, though. I'll start up some bells. I wanted to touch on some NBA. Definitely wanted to touch on the Red Sox, Yankees, maybe a little NFL. And won't keep you too long. I had a few things I wanted to catch up on from yesterday and a couple funny things to catch up on with you on the way out. But I definitely needed to start with this. We had a discussion the other day. I know you didn't want to have it because I usually bring it up on the pod and you're pissed. Need to have this one because it goes from 90% the NBA being vaccinated to 95% in literally a day after we started talking about it on the pod. You know, we talk Kyrie Irving. We don't know his status right now, and there's some interesting stuff out there about Kyrie Irving. Obviously, all the blasts and hot takes about him getting traded, him not wanting to take the vaccine, all this stuff that we still have to wait and see play out. That's the one thing I love also about talking sports. We give these takes. You got to wait and see how some of this stuff plays out. Andrew Wiggins, a guy who was on the record basically saying all this stuff about the vaccine, he would have been on the record to have to lose $15.6 million, I believe is the number, if he didn't take the vaccine. He decided to get the vaccine, as did another 5% of these 10 percentile players in the NBA that didn't. Still got some time beforehand. We'll see if they get to that 99% number that I think you predicted as well. We'll see if that actually happens. It'll be interesting to see who these guys are that decide not to do so. Moral of the story here is Andrew Wiggins did decide to get the vaccine, but the reason why I need to bring this up, Rich, is his comments to me are what were interesting. I don't know if you saw any of these, but he basically talked about being forced to get the vaccine. He talked about a lot of these things that you read on the internet, which are basically things like he's really hoping he's healthy 10 years from now. He's also hoping he can reproduce as he wants to have another kid. He's saying none of his family takes vaccines because they don't believe in it. All these things that basically he's saying now after taking the vaccine, saying he was forced to take the vaccine. And a lot of these things we talked about here on the podcast that I think is actually very interesting. When you have all these guys, Draymond Green, Bradley Beal, LeBron James even, anybody at this point blasting off about the vaccine and how they kind of feel about it, it's not really a private matter. It's a public matter. And Kyrie's will be public sooner rather than later once this season starts and what actually starts happening. He can avoid media day all he wants. He can avoid all these questions all he wants. And if that's actually the case, he probably won't end up playing NBA basketball because I don't think the Nets are going to want to pay this man how much he's expected to be paid if he's going to miss over 50% of the games. So at this point, I think everybody's got to be vaccinated in the NBA. If these are going to be the mandated rules at some of these arenas, it should be all we talked about here a little bit. But I'm just more curious as to why, if Andrew Wiggins felt he was forced to get the vaccine and if he's so strong on not getting the vaccine, why he actually got it. And to me, I feel like it is to a point where I was talking to you about some of this stuff too when I didn't have the vaccine. And I get kind of that side of it where a lot of these people that don't have it, in my opinion, when they do get it, are basically feeling forced to get it because of all these things that are going on. And I just don't know how that's going to impact sports and people going forward. You might have a NBA season with no Kyrie Irving. I was listening to takes on it, and I know it might be all airspace and hot takes right now, but like I can highly consider seeing Kyrie Irving not want to get this vaccine, whatever it is, the 2 or 3 percentile of NBA players that don't want to get this vaccine, and how that's going to impact them not being able to play at some of these games is going to be pretty interesting to me, unless you get to that 99%, 100% threshold where all the players are vaccinated. I mean, that's just what it's going to have to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, a few things. I said on the last one, I do think Kyrie's going to play. Obviously, there's no information any of us really have on that. Like, the funny thing with Kyrie is, not that I think this is the case, like, it wouldn't even surprise me if he's vaccinated. He technically hasn't told us he's not vaccinated. He's just gone out on a tangent about how you shouldn't have to be vaccinated, which would be the most Kyrie thing to be like, nah, I am, but like, this is still messed up kind of thing. Like,
Basically what I'm doing. I mean, let's just be real.
I know, that's basically what I'm doing
because I'm still kind of skeptical of this whole thing. I just went and got it because I felt forced, and that's basically what I'm talking about. Andrew Wiggins is just saying some real shit and getting some flashback.
Yeah, I'm just saying the things with Kyrie is, like, we don't know. We assume, like, Kyrie's on the side. We don't really know. But, like, the overall thing, going back to the Andrew Wiggins thing, is just to clarify one thing here, is people seem to have an issue with the word choice and what a choice means. Andrew Wiggins had a choice. It was just a very difficult choice. His choice was forfeit millions of dollars. So in his head, he's saying, yo, you guys aren't giving me a choice because obviously I'm not going to forfeit millions of dollars. So you're basically forcing me to do this, which isn't entirely wrong. But where it is wrong is in order for you to force someone to do something, they have to not have a choice. He still has a choice. It's just a shitty choice of forfeiting a lot of millions. So, like, there is a choice. All these people saying there's not a choice, like, even LeBron and Draymond's comments I disagree with, like, comparing it to, like, pregnancies and stuff like that. Like, no, dude, this is very different. This is more than about, like, just yourself. Again, not saying you have to get it, but, like, you're missing the mark if you're comparing it to pregnancies or things that only involve one person, or if you're saying there's no choice. There is a choice. Just the flip end of the choice is shitty because you are a multimillionaire and the companies doesn't have to pay you that money if you're not going to, if you're going to be a risk to them and not be vaccinated.
Yeah, but so Rich, this is also why I like talking about some of this stuff here on my pod, because I see all these stories that are like all the same stories that everyone's talking about. It's like, this is what I can talk about. This is what I'm making up. Here's the thing, bro. Like, what about all the people that aren't in those situations in sports and have those multi-million dollar jobs? And I get not everyone's going to get talked about, but like, even I've asked you about your job, or like, I've talked to Dukes about him, you know, refereeing soccer. I just see, like,
it's still a choice. It's a shitty choice. They're saying we are going to force you to get the shot if you want to work here, which, yes, that is forcing you to get it. But
yeah,
no one is saying you have to get the shot because you still have the choice to not work there. It's a shitty choice.
Yeah, but like,
I'm
that
with you.
Yeah,
but like, to say like you're not giving people a choice is simply untrue. It's companies saying like, hey man, this is where we stand. Like, we have to watch out for our bottom line.
I think I've been consistent with this the whole time, and this is the only thing I'd say with this, is why isn't it more universal where there's some places you have more of a choice, some places you're forced to do so, and that just doesn't make sense to me. Like,
because
what you're doing, like, I hear Skip talking about it, you know, just basically working with Shannon at FS1, like, them talking about it because they opened their show talking about Kyrie and Andrew Wiggins. Like,
yeah,
them talking about some of their protocols, like, some of the protocols I had at my job, some of the protocols that you would have at your job that you've kind of brought up. Like,
so
it's different every single place, and that's where I don't understand, bro. That's literally what I don't get.
The issue is, like, one, it's an issue you're going to run into. We've had this conversation in the past with, like, I think it was at the very beginning of COVID with the NBA. Like, each state has its own laws, so it's a problem there. But I think the bigger issue is, like, starting when this all came out with, like, Donald Trump saying, not even to make it about him, but like, oh, it's not going to be a big thing, this will be over in a month, it's not a big deal, don't worry about it. And then once it became a big thing, it got so politicized. So the problem with this pandemic versus, obviously we weren't alive for them, but other pandemics, like, it wasn't made into a political argument in the past. It was simply like, yeah, there were maybe some people that didn't get vaccinated, but the pandemic itself wasn't a political argument. And now a year and a half out, it's still going. And people are just so entrenched in their own side. So you see liberal states like New York, California, having more restrictive rules. And you see more conservative states like Texas, Florida, other stuff like that going, nah, fuck it, we're good. And it's basically just states and like the head of those states, whether it's a Republican head, Democratic head, just leaning to their side even more instead of just having like a universal overall message. So that would what I would say is the bigger issue, is it's become so politicized where like people are so ingrained in their own side where it's not even about what's right and what's healthy anymore. It's about like what side you've been on and staying true to that because you committed so hard to it, which is not how things should be.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
It's
almost sad and depressing, bro.
That are very wrong here. There are definitely people who are like, you know, maybe overdoing it, or like people who like go at people for being unvaccinated them, and just like, you know, like calling people out like isn't the right way to get anyone on your side, or like going at someone in an aggressive manner on social media. Flip side to that is like the right thing to do also isn't like what some of these conservative states are doing, just like pretending it's not a thing and everything like will be fine.
Yeah, but like, this is the other thing too. Like, I hear a lot of people with these platforms, even people that like the research that these athletes can have, the research that you can go out and get, or just go ask your doctor or whatever it is, the people that are certified, like, rather than just reading stuff on the internet and like feeling like that's what it is. Cause like, that's what a lot of this to me is, dude. Like, it's even the same stuff with sports, but like some of the stuff I've literally heard Andrew Wiggins say, like, is it even true that if you get the vaccine, it might be harder to reproduce? Is it like, are some of the stuff he's saying isn't even true? So like, that's part of the problem, dude. This stuff gets put out there and some people can just see it and say, oh shit, see? And maybe they're thinking about having a kid and then they don't want to get the vaccine because they saw or heard that. And that's the type of shit that I don't understand, how how there's not crazy, more of like a, hey, this is what's going on. Like, this is what you need to know. Like, I don't understand that, dude.
The crazy thing is, I mean, hey, I don't know, maybe Andrew Wiggins anti-medicine and stuff too, but like, for the most part, people who aren't vaccinated, especially when you compare it to athletes, like, if a trainer hands them something after a game, like, here, take this, it'll make you better. None of these motherfuckers are like, well, let me read the side of the bottle. What's Ampavil, this fifth ingredient here? What is that? Like, they're not fucking doing that shit. Like, in every other scenario, you just trust the doctors. And like, look, I'm not saying it's a bad thing to like want to learn for yourself. I just think the problem is most people that say like they don't trust the doctors, they aren't learning for themselves. They're just going off like some message they saw online, or like, oh, well, yeah, it might do this. Like, dude, you don't know. And even if you went to learn for yourself, these dudes went to school for 8 years, have studied their entire life working on infectious diseases. You can't just go online, even in like a month's worth of research, and like learn what people who have devoted their life to this know. So it's like, I don't know. I'm just going to trust the people that have devoted their life to that. And like, damn, it would really suck if I couldn't have a kid because of this. But I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, I don't either. I think a lot of this is just getting blown out of proportion in just today's media, where even you got Instagram down for a day and you got people saying how much they're addicted to Instagram. I mean, I'm kind of addicted to checking my messages, seeing if you guys send any funny ones or people that I'm chatting with. Not very many, just one in particular. But hey, being off Instagram, not being able to post for the pod, everything kind of being down for a day, it's kind of funny to see all people's reactions. Facebook being down as well. I don't have Facebook. That doesn't bother me. What's the other thing? FaceTime you couldn't do? Like, what the hell was going on yesterday? Like, literally,
the funny thing is,
your shit was working fine because mine wasn't.
I basically only used Twitter, and Twitter wasn't down, so I saw that all those other things were down on Twitter. But, like, I didn't actually click into Instagram, so I didn't. I rarely click into Instagram.
Twitter cranking hard. 18 NBA preseason teams last night, 9 winners. Preseason's cranking up as you got teams back playing. I wanted to just touch on this real quick. I saw a particular play, Steph Curry shooting a 3-pointer. He basically, what last year would have been called a foul, in my opinion, is not a foul. Was looking for a foul. Steve Kerr is looking for a foul. He throws it off the back of the backboard, no foul, because the NBA emphasis, as I covered here on the pod, is to not call those type of what are they calling them? Like unaltering shot plays, non-basketball plays. Yeah, which I totally agree with. And, you know, I don't think we talked about this a little bit. I don't think it'll affect a guy like Steph Curry as much because, he shoots longer range, has some moves, all that. Trae Young, James Harden, some of these guys, just in general, like the fact that that's how the NBA got, like, it doesn't have to be any of these big name guys. Like, it could be a dude off your bench, Pat Connaughton shooting mad threes, Patty Mills shooting mad threes, guys looking for these foul calls. That I hope in it's not just a preseason thing and it's actually a thing into the regular season going forward. They kind of stick with it and not something like the NFL where they're trying out these taunting calls like I talked about, and they'll be gone. How many taunting calls do we have yesterday in the NFL? I'm not sure. I'm going to have to look that up, but I don't think it was many.
I didn't see many.
Here's the deal. This would be good for the NBA. I think this will be tough for guys like Trae Young, James Harden, guys in particular that kind of do this stuff, and I think it will impact their games a little bit, as I talked about. But just curious on your thoughts of seeing kind of that play out last. I don't know if you saw the video of it, but just like, to me, that was cool, like, because they just rebounded the ball, even it hit the top of the backboard. Like, yeah, if he threw it out of bounds, whatever, pass it in. But, like, I don't know, I'd rather see that than stopping the game and taking more free throws. They're always talking about how long the game takes. To me, that's something stupid that they got to get out. And I don't know that. I wanted to just talk about that for a second.
I don't think it'll be too big of a deal. Like, I think the one guy where you could say it could be a big deal is, like, if James Harden was still on the Rockets, because with how much ISO ball he was doing, like, he was resorting to that specifically in, like, the fourth quarter when he got really tired and just carrying the load and, like, just couldn't get his open. He would resort to that. He wasn't even doing it too much on the Nets because, like, obviously he was doing more playmaking than shot creating. And, like, Trey does it here and there. Steph does it here and there. But, like, in all honesty, I feel like we probably overweighted a little bit. Like, what? James Harden was easily doing it the most when he was on the Rockets, but like he's probably not even doing it the most anymore now that he's playmaking. So like, what, Trae Young and Steph do it like maybe twice a game. So like, yeah, maybe it's you know, there'll be an ugly play here and there where they do it and have to get it out of their system and realize, oh, shit, I'm not getting that call anymore. But, like, for the most part, I don't think it'll really be an impact. All these guys that do – all the guys that do that move, the reason they're able to do that move is they're such good shooters that every defender is like, oh, fuck, and jumping out on them the second they start to pull up. And when the guys are that good, they'll find another way to score. So, like, they'll be fine. It's not going to be a negative thing for, like, Steph or Trey or them. It just might be, like we saw in the first preseason thing, an ugly thing that happens here and there the first few times they realize they're not getting the call.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I'll be interested to see how it leaks into the regular season. I know it's just preseason right now. You think it's going to be consistently called like that in the regular season throughout the season? So. Like, it'll be more of that emphasis?
I think it's... NBA is a pretty progressive league, and, like, I follow a lot of, like, NBA Twitter and stuff, and it's the most common thing I see complained about, and the NBA is definitely aware of it. I saw so many people when the Olympics was going on talking about how, like, U.S. players look ridiculous trying that, like, no other countries are doing that, playing more sound basketball. I see people complain about it during NBA games. The NBA knows that. It's not, like, a good-looking product to have the best players in the world, like, flailing on the court out there, so I think they're going to stick with it.
All right, word. Sorry, I was texting back Raj.
You good?
I wanted to touch on this quote that I saw. Tyler Hero had this in the post. You've been on Tyler Hero a little bit. I think the Heat are going to be a team.
In a negative way.
Here's the thing. So... when I look at, like, the NBA or the NFL playoffs, like, I think over the, like, since the merger 2000 or some stat, it's like four teams that made the playoffs the previous year don't make it the next year, and you have four new teams. I'm curious what the stat would be in the NBA on that, because I wanted to kind of touch on that a little bit. Teams that even didn't make this expanded playoff 10-team thing that they got going on in the NBA now,
It's about two on average.
A team like the Bulls, I think, are going to be in that slot. I know the Heat made the playoffs last year and got swept out by the Bucks, a team they swept the previous year in the bubble. I think the Heat are going to be much better, particularly because of Tyler Hero, particularly because of the addition of Kyle Lowry. So when I'm talking sleepers, particularly in the East, for me, I don't know if you'd consider the Heat a particular sleeper, but for me, they'll be a sleeper because I think they'll be at least a top 2-3 seed in the East. For me, I also think the Bulls will be up there in that 4-5-6 slot range as a team that's contending and viable for a playoff spot with the additions of Lonzo Ball, DeMar DeRozan, Caruso, Derek Jones Jr., and I forgot they drafted Ayo Dosunmu, who I absolutely love out of Illinois. They got rid of Larry Markkanen, Daniel Theis, Thaddeus Young, who I have his autograph, Tomas Satoransky, who is a good shout-out, and Garrett Temple, but I do like what the Bulls are doing, and I love Billy Donovan there. Just wanted to then touch on that I think the Heat are going to be legit because of the addition of Kyle Lowry. You know how I feel about Bam Adebayo, and I think Jimmy Butler's a dog. Tyler Hero, having been quoted for saying, some people are sleeping on me, is the actual quote. I'm going to wake a lot of people up. I think Tyler Hero, you told me you got Trevor Mann, $20 to be most improved player.
Terrence Mann.
Yeah, Trevor Mann. I don't know why the fuck I said that. I think I know a dude named Trevor Mann. But moral of the story is you got Terrence Mann for most improved player, $20. You got to hit up the sportsbook, dude. My brother went last night. We had some bad beats. I'll touch on it. But I had been on the Giants and Seahawks, actual locks, $50 a piece this past week for my brother to win back. I think he won almost $200 back, whatever. I was like, it's pretty hype. Not sweet. We got to go check that out, dude. Like, I know you want to do the live thing, but he told me, like, the actual kiosk things and all that is pretty cool.
Moral of the story is
I think Tyler Hero will be most improved player of the year. That's one of my hot takes for the day for you. Anyways, you got any thoughts on the Heat and Bulls looking nice in the Eastern Conference? Bulls being my one team that I have outside the playoffs that is back into the playoffs this season, 10-team format, still
so
expanding.
Bulls is interesting because I think they have, like, the widest range of outcomes. Like, you could literally tell me, like, shit goes wrong for them and they end up as, like, the 10-11 seed this year, and I could be like, damn, I could see how that would happen. And you could tell me it clicks and they're, like, one, like, the fourth best team behind, like, the Nets and Bucks and one other.
Here's a good
like
question
that.
For you. They also have Vooch, which I forgot to mention.
Yep.
I saw a lot of people talking about Gerrit Cole in preseason and the Magic and kind of what they're doing. I forgot who they actually hired as their coach. I think it's Jamal Mosley. I'd have to actually look that up. But moral of the story is, do you think the Magic will be better than the Bulls? Like the Bulls, the Magic were out of the playoffs.
The Magic should be the worst team in the league, probably.
Not like in Jalen Suggs?
I mean, like, it doesn't even matter. They're just going to be the one. They're a lock for a bottom three record, I would say. Or maybe a favorite for the worst record with, like, the Thunder and the Rockets or something like that down there. But, no, I would just say my thing with the Bulls is, like, they'll be good. They have star power. Like, you have all-stars on this team. You got DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Vucevic, Lonzo, who took a step last year, Patrick Williams, who looked really good in his first year. That's a great starting five. You got Caruso, a good big man off the bench. The thing with the Bulls is, like, how does it all fit together? Lonzo might be the best – or, excuse me, Zach LaVine's definitely the best shooter in that starting lineup. Zach LaVine was incredible scoring last year. But, like, Lonzo might be the next best shooter. DeMar DeRozan isn't spacing the floor, and a lot of DeMar DeRozan playing route has come on him playmaking. And you're going to want the ball in Zach LaVine and Lonzo Ball's hands. Boosh doesn't really space the floor, and he doesn't play defense. None of these guys play defense other than Lonzo.
Sure, that's a lot of good talent in one spot. That's a lot of good talent in one spot.
Great talent, weird fit. So that's why I think I could see them literally being like one of the teams in the play-in tournament or a team with home court advantage. Like, I think there's a wide range of outcomes.
Real quick before my next segment, who do you got for early Rookie of the Year candidate? Because I got Jalen Suggs. You're talking about the Magic being buns. I think Jalen Suggs is going to be elite for them, playing a lot of minutes for them. He had, in his summer league debut, 24-9, 2 steals and 3 blocks. I get it's a summer league, but on 9-22 field goals, 3-6 from 3, making his free throws 3 of 4. I think he's going to play a lot of minutes there. He's flashy. A lot of people don't know about him, even though he was on Gonzaga, this elite team played. I think he was a 3-4-year player at Gonzaga. I got him as my Rookie of the Year.
I like it. I'm going to take Jalen Green. So Cade Cunningham, hopefully good for the regular season, but actually got like a little bit hurt yesterday in their game.
Which,
hopefully,
by the way, yeah, I love Cade Cunningham. Go ahead.
Hopefully he'll be good for the regular season. My only...
You got Jalen Green
with Suggs for Rookie of the Year. And, like, it could be either one of them. It's just that he has Cole Anthony and R.J. Hampton. I really like R.J. Hampton. Obviously, they're going to like Suggs better. They just drafted him with the third pick. But he has some good young guys as well in that backcourt, and they're trying to figure out what they got. The Rockets, we already know John Wall's not playing there this year. They got Kevin Porter and Jalen Green, and I think everything's going to go through them. So I'll take Jalen Green. Suggs would probably be my second pick, though.
All right, yeah. The Pistons, by the way, with Cade Cunningham, I didn't know he got hurt, to be honest, but the last time they had the number one overall pick, I covered it a little bit, was 1970. I think Cade Cunningham will be pretty elite, but it's just going to be a matter of, you know, how is he able to stay on the court, obviously, now, and then what the Pistons are looking like. I think the Magic will be, like, I think they'll be fighting for a play-in spot, to be honest.
I don't think so.
No?
The only teams, because there's 10 teams fighting for a play-in spot.
Yeah.
I think they'll be better than, or like, I don't know that they'll be better, but they're in the range of like Pistons, Magic, Cavaliers, and Wizards.
I think they'll be better than all those teams, the Magic.
You think they'll be better than the Wizards?
Yeah, I do. I think Brad Beal, I think things will be bad for Brad Beal here pretty quick too.
Even then the Cavs with real NBA guys like Garland, Sexton, Jared Allen.
They've been talking about moving Sexton. They just got Larry Markkanen too. I don't know what the hell they're doing. They got a bunch of big dudes there. Like, but I don't know. I don't really like what's going on with the Cavs.
They got better basketball players. I think you're putting a lot of weight into Jalen Suggs being like really good right away. And even if he is, I don't think they're one of those top 10 teams. Because, like, just real quick going through, Sixers, Nets, Bucks, Hawks, Heat. Those are like the five teams they're not touching. Then after that, Knicks, Celtics, Pacers, Hornets, Bulls. I don't know if they're better than any of those teams. That's 10 teams. And now that I didn't even say the Raptors. So, like, I don't see it. I don't see them getting into the play-in. But I think if they're better than the Cavaliers.
Scotty Barnes is not a bad pick for Rookie of the Year, too. I'd like to see the odds on that. I wanted to touch on this, though, real quick, because I don't know. You probably heard my hype on Justin Herbert. I love Justin Herbert. The Giants got to win, but, like, bro, I love the Chargers. I think they're going to win this division. I had the Chargers making the playoffs. I mean, I probably sound like a big overreaction after what they did last night, which was 28-14 over undefeated Vegas, their first 3-0 start since 2002 when they made the Super Bowl. Back-to-back division wins for Justin Herbert, who had 175 yards, 20 of 25 passing, and three touchdowns in the first half. The game was basically blown off. Justin Herbert's elite. I love the Chargers. Rashawn Slater hasn't allowed a sack since 2018 at Northwestern. Got all these weapons. They brought in Jared Cook, who was playing nice last night. Austin Eckler is really elite.
Keenan Allen, Eckler, Mike Williams. In my school fantasy league, I have a great team, and I'm 0-3. I was 0-3.
Yeah, and you went up against Cordarrelle Patterson, who you're talking all this smoke, but you went up against, you lost your matchup because of Cordarrelle Patterson. Let's just be honest.
I don't care. He made me way more money in DraftKings, so I don't give a shit. I did see Mike had him, and I was like, fuck, Mike has him. That's I had him in all my DraftKings, so whatever.
That's ridiculous. I didn't play him in one of mine, and I would have won my matchup if I played him. I had him on my bench. I was pissed. He's been going off.
But in my school league, I was 0-3, filthy team, have the fourth most total points, and just literally gotten fucked every week.
Which, by the way, dude, he's not – what is he, a running back or wide receiver? He might have the best game of his life. Like, he's, like, basically a kick return guy. That was unreal.
He only played 27 total snaps and had three touchdowns. He wasn't even out there half the game. That's ridiculous. But I needed Austin Eckler. I was going to go 0-4. I needed Austin Eckler to get 27 points. He got me 29 points, got me over that last touchdown.
Yeah, word. Joey Bosa, Derwin James. I love the Chargers, bro. I like them a lot. I got my rankings out for week four. I have the Chargers in the two slot. Cardinals in the one slot, Chargers in the two slot, Bills three, Rams four, Ravens five. Just outside is Browns, stay in the same slot as last week. Cowboys 7, Packers 8. And I love the Chargers. But here's the thing. I love the Giants. You know how much of a dire Giants fan I am. I'm basically turning into a Chargers fan because I'm going to be a Lakers fan. I'm rooting so hard for Russ here, bro. Deadass. Like, this is going to be one of these things where, like, I morph into, like, kind of where Russ is at. Like, I was Thunder. I'm still Thunder. I love the Thunder. I hate what they're doing, but I'm like, a Thunder fan. But, like, damn, bro. I was rooting for Russ on the Wizards. They were 17-32 on April 15th last year. Like, what is that, 15 games under 500? They ended up making the play-in. This dude averages another triple-double. They go on, like, a nine-game win streak that they haven't done. The stat on it is ridiculous. Like, this dude gets shit on way too much. He's averaging, like, 23.7 rebounds on his career, 2016-17 MVP. I want this guy to get a ring. I want LeBron to win another ring. Melo getting a ring in the process would be great. All this shit would be great going up against the Nets. I'm the biggest Lakers fan right now. It's ridiculous. I'm so all in on them being nasty and ruining the league this year. I mean, it's honestly unreal. Like, I really hope this goes down. I've been hard on it. I'm about to go bet on some future bets on them. I mean, it's got to go down. It's got to go down. I got Russ for – I'm going to just go Russ for MVP too. Just do something wild. Just go see the odds on that.
That's – I would rather take a flyer on a Russ for MVP bet than I would any, like, Lakers finishing first in the conference bet, because I don't think the Lakers care about the regular season, and I think the way Russ does get MVP is if the Lakers care less about the regular season, Bron sits some games, Anthony Davis hurt here and there, and Russ is running the show and they still get, like, a top four seed or something like that. That would be Russ's route there. I don't think Russ gets an MVP. It would take a tough season from, like, a Embiid, Giannis, Luka type guys. But, like, he's got an outside shot, and the odds on him are probably pretty good. So, like, I don't hate that. Yeah. I think if I had to pick right now,
I saw Jalen Rose say a healthy Lakers squad beats a healthy Nets squad. Do you agree with that?
No, I mean, no. I don't think it's again. I don't think it's a like. Neither side's crazy to argue to me. Like, it would be a good game. Like, that could be a 7-game series. So any series that's going 7 games, like, it's ridiculous to say, like, this team would crush them. Like, I don't know. It'd be a really good series. But like we went over in the last one,
I'm clearly rooting for the Lakers to win the championship. Who would you be rooting for? Preseason.
Rooting, if it's Nets Lakers championship, I'm rooting for Melo to get his ring 100%. I'm not rooting for the other New York team that's not the Knicks to win. I'm just saying, if I had to put my own money on it, I like the Nets better because of their shooting at the end of the day.
Fair. I want to clean this up from yesterday because I mentioned Diana Taurasi, who she went 10 of 13 field goals. It was 8 of 11 from 3. I said 10 of 11 from 3. She had 37 points, playoff career high. I saw the Sun lost. They're down 2-1 in the WNBA playoffs, that semifinals. I think their game's cranking up maybe tonight or tomorrow night. They play them both on the same night, which is pretty sweet. So I'll try and catch up on some of that, but see if the Suns can make a comeback. I just wanted to shout out her and clean up those stats that I was given from yesterday. I wanted to touch on this real quick. Red Sox, Yankees, Rich. Here's the thing. You know, I like playoff baseball. This Red Sox Yankees thing, and I'm seeing all like the old school. Like when I was a kid, I loved baseball. I played so much baseball. I remember watching these games, like these 2004 highlights they're playing. These highlights before when Aaron Boone's smacking homers and the Red Sox are cursed. I remember all that when I was a little kid, Red Sox being cursed. And then they finally win. And then as Chewy's telling me yesterday, I think they won, three or four championships in the last 15 years, which is slightly better than the Yankees, I believe, who haven't won it in a little while. I mean, I don't know enough about baseball. I'd have to have Chewy here. Moral of the story is you got this rivalry heated up again in a winner-take-all, starting the MLB playoffs tonight. Just one game, winner moves on to face the Tampa Bay Rays, who are also in that division. So it'll be good to watch some of these playoff games, particularly these one-game playoff games are the ones I like. I mean, the series are cool, and I like series in sports, but these one-game, winner-take-all, football kind of style format, to me in sports, are really great. And what's better than Red Sox, Yankees, all the things that's kind of brought to me as a sports fan, like my whole life, you know, covering – just talking sports, even if you weren't here today, I kind of get in my own feels when I'm more solo. But like, I don't know. I've been literally following and talking and supporting sports like literally since I can remember having a brain. And to me, that's Red Sox. So as much as I'm not a baseball guy, like I just remember being such a fan of the Red Sox. I don't know if they'll win this game because I saw JD Martinez is banged up, not playing in this game. Chris Sale ain't going. And Nivaldi's going or whatever, which he hums it, but I don't know how that's going to go for the Red Sox, who will have one of their best guys out, their best pitcher not going, and up against the Yankees, which I don't like picking the Yankees as basically a Red Sox guy, but I think the Yankees have more talent and basically shouldn't be in this position. I had the Red Sox to win more games than the Yankees this year. Chewy looked at me crazy. They're tied after 161 games. They go at it tonight to advance into the playoffs. It is kind of cool. I'm definitely going to watch the game. 8 o'clock, ESPN. I assume you're going to watch it as well?
I mean, the Knicks' first preseason game is on, so I'll be watching the Knicks' preseason. Oh, actually, no. It starts at... Nah, I'll be watching the Knicks' preseason game, but I'll turn on the Red Sox game in the seventh inning or something like that. Look, I'm not watching a whole baseball game. That's not happening. But I'm the exact same way.
I was saying that yesterday, and Chewy was getting mad. I also told him I'd watch a WNBA playoff game before I'd watch a baseball game. Would you as well?
I would too.
Yeah, all right, 100%. Love it. Love it.
I
also told him I'd watch the Red Sox Yankees before.
I would rather watch a wild card Red Sox Yankees game before a WNBA game.
But
there's the Knicks preseason game on, which I'll just rather watch the Knicks. But I'll tune in to the end of this game for sure, hoping it's close. But I'm the exact same way as you. Like, even though I don't follow baseball anymore, like, if you ask me, like, what team I feel the most loyal to, it's like, even though I love the Knicks and I'd want to see the Knicks win more than anything, like, I was a Red Sox fan since I was little. Like, I, like,
yeah,
loved
I would
teams.
Never,
this
I would
guy,
never.
It's like a different type of, like, it doesn't hurt me to see, like, the Celtics or the Nets do well. But, like, it kind of sucks to see, like, the Yankees do well. Like, I don't want to see the Yankees do well. So, like, I care more about the Red Sox from that, like, just, like, growing up.
Yeah, but hold on. Yes, I get you in that sense, and I'm glad you brought this to the pod. But now, like, now that you're not as – because I'm, like, the same way. But, like, I would not say – I'm way more Giants than I am Red Sox. I would also say I'm way more into the NBA and teams of the NBA that I'm not even technically diehard fans of. That I was sure. Like the Red Sox, that I would support more now than I do the Red Sox, just because I'm not as much of a fan as baseball, but I do appreciate that aspect
it's
of it.
A different kind of fandom. I'd rather see the Knicks win 1,000% over the Red Sox. Obviously, the Knicks haven't won, and the Red Sox have won multiple, but it's more so like the nostalgia factor of like growing up and stuff like that, like first team and stuff.
Yeah, you think the Yankees will win tonight though? If you had to put money on it,
I'll never say that. I would never in a million years put money on the Yankees to win anything. That just feels ridiculous. Like, I guess that's the thing that stayed with me throughout this. Like, it's almost like even though I stopped liking baseball, it still instilled in me that like fuck the Yankees. Like, out of any team in any sport, if I want to see a team not do well, it's like fuck the Yankees.
Yeah, I just wanted to clean up a few things in baseball that I didn't have Chewy say yesterday. I can't believe we didn't touch on this, but You know, I had some shout-outs to Shohei Ohtani in the beginning of the season on the podcast, by the way. He was the first player in AL history with 45-plus home runs, 100-plus runs, and 25-plus steals. He did all that while also obviously pitching. His stats on that are unreal. He did a 9-2 record, 3.1 ERA, 130.1 innings pitched, 156 strikeouts, 1.90 whip, which I don't understand that, but also batted without taking any batting practice, 257, had 46 home runs, which was third in the league, 100 RBIs, 8 triples, which led the league in 26 stolen bases. He was the first player to lead off and be the starting pitcher in an all-star game, and obviously that's like actually insane. Like Shohei Ohtani, and I bought something that you haven't seen yet, which is in my room this year, which is the season he went off. Like, this is the season he went off. It'll be interesting to see if they're talking about him, like, either, you know, trying to get a contract done with the Angels, but either that or maybe if they can't, like, he might just go back to Japan or whatever, which I think is just crazy. I also need to shout out Vlad Jr., which I remember we're talking all this, you know, growing up watching. Yo, Vlad Jr. Sr. was like one of my favorite baseball players to watch. Like, he was on the Rays or Boilers or Montreal at the time, so they were always kind of playing against the Red Sox, which kind of sucked. But I love Vlad Jr. Like, I loved watching Vlad Jr. This year, and then comparing him to his dad. His dad, through three seasons, had 38 home runs, 109 RBIs, 202 hits, and a 324 batting average. Vlad Jr. has 48 home runs, 111 RBIs, 188 hits, and a 311 batting average. They're pretty scary how the resemblance there goes. And he had an unreal season. I don't think they're in the playoffs because the Rays got in and they missed on this wild thing. The Mariners almost made the playoffs. So there could have been this whole crazy thing that Chu was talking about yesterday. And just to clean up for Chu real quick, the Mets didn't make the playoffs and they did fire their manager after me, Barry, and Smats were talking about it for a good 20 minutes yesterday. About 20 minutes after the pod, the Mets fired their manager. So I thought that was kind of funny. Needed to throw that in. That's my baseball segment for the day. I guess I'll get into just some funny stuff and any other stuff you had here on the way out, because I really don't have much more organized besides that, catching on some of that. Besides asking you this, which I saw as well, which I asked Chewy yesterday, and then we'll get into some funny stuff. I wanted to touch on this because I saw them talking. I don't know if you saw this, but Vic Fangio, in his comments on this Baltimore final play, did you see the Baltimore final play that I was talking about with you yesterday? I need to clean this up as well.
Oh,
because,
yeah, to go with the rushing.
Yeah, the rushing record for 43 straight games, yep. Tied the Steelers of 74-77 or something. And, you know, Harbaugh basically saying what's meaningful to us is definitely not certainly may not be meaningful to them. Vic Fangio calling it BS and, you know, basically saying they should have took a knee and that player safety isn't important, secondary and all this shit. Like, pretty some blastful comments. And I just wanted to clean up my take on it and get your take on it, which was, I don't have a problem with the Ravens doing that. I just had a problem that they were doing that when that game was that out of hand. Like, to me, you shouldn't be able to go for...
So you do have a problem with them doing it.
Well, it's just like, the way I see it is like, the record shouldn't hold, like... If that record probably won't be touched, right? I mean, let's think about it. Some of these records that are put up, like, probably won't be touched. Like, that one in particular probably won't be touched. And, like, to me, are we going to remember the fact that that's how they got that record? Probably not. And, like, realistically, like, I don't know. That's, like, kind of a cheesy way to get that record. Like, if you go watch
that
play.
That's not how they got that record. That's how they got 3 yards of, like, this entire sample size.
Like, true, but, like, they got the record by getting those 3 yards, which in realistic, like, terms, like, any other team in that situation probably kneels down if you're not going for a record. So, okay, you're going for a record in that sense. So, I was talking to Chewy yesterday. Like, they basically line up. You knew they're going. You watched the play. They didn't even go and try and tackle him. He pretty much let him walk for it. So that's why I'm saying the record. Yeah, they get the record, cool. But like, to me, it's like, it's not as true as them like literally running for another 5 yards if they actually had to, which they didn't. So like, that's why I don't know. Like, to me, I don't know. Like, we won't ever. I don't know.
I don't think that matters.
You don't think that? I don't know.
I would say. So I see both sides in a certain respect. One. Fangio, shut the fuck up. Like, literally, you lost the game. You're going to get up there and bitch about 4-yard run after the game. Like, and he kept going about it. It wasn't just a quick thing. Like, dude, shut up. Stop. Like, what you lost, get over it. Like, say your piece on it. Get over the unwritten rule bullshit. Like, it is what it is. And then from the other side, to argue the bad side, you've lost Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins to injuries this year. Like, damn, you're really going to try and just get 5 more yards at the end of the game for some record? That's like, oh, you're probably going to be fine. But if something had ever happened there, it would have been, it just never would have ended. If, like, someone got hurt on that play, I forget who ran it. Was it Lamar or Murray? I don't even know. Whoever ran the ball.
Yeah, it was Lamar. Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever ran the ball there, if they had gotten hurt, like, oh, my God. But, like, also, to look at it from Harbaugh's side, like, you're coaching a locker room of dudes. Like, you want to have these dudes, like, inspired and pumped up throughout the season. Like,
yeah, I get – yes, dude, I get your point. But do you understand my point? Is the record true if they're getting it when the other team isn't even trying?
Yes, because you're acting like the entire – so I think that point would be true if it's, like, they had the most rushing yards in a game. And it was, like, the last game of the season and the other team was checked out for the whole game. But they got this whole record on a sample size where a team was trying – and got 5 yards to maintain it, or 3 yards to maintain it, on a sample size where the other team just didn't care. It wasn't like they weren't trying. He didn't run for a 50-yard touchdown. He ran for 5 yards and got tackled. Like, I don't think that matters. Like, sure, that's your choice. I don't know. Go for it. Like, it's a risk reward. Your reward is locker room loves you as the coach for letting them do that. Players are happy. Risk is like, if something goes wrong, wow, did you fuck up? And you know you're going to hear it from the other coach because it's one of those unwritten rules.
All right, like, this is all I'm trying to say, and I'm trying to explain this to Chew. Like, when I saw this play live and I'm watching this live, I'm thinking to myself, dude, are they actually going to do this right now? Because they had been talking about the record. Like, oh, the record, they're probably not going to get it. Like, the Steelers lost their record last week, and I'm like, what? And then they're lining up to actually do it. I'm like, what? I think he had a timeout in his pocket. If I'm Big Fangio and I knew he was going to be pissed about it anyways if they got it and they basically let him get it, I'm calling timeout there. I'm telling my team, which they're probably – to bust through and fucking tackle his ass, because I'm not trying to give up that record. Like, that's the thing. Like, you're going to be that mad about it after the game and basically this public rant about it and basically set your team up in that regard anyways when you lose a game and have a ton of issues with your quarterbacks and concussion protocol and you start off 3-0 and everyone doesn't know if you're for real. Like, I don't know. This isn't smart to me by Vic Fangio if you actually gave a fuck, which I'm trying to explain to Chewy yesterday. Like, yeah, if that's up against my team, I'm trying to not let that shit happen if you're going to do that. And I'm getting beat by 20 points. Like, fuck that, dude. That would piss me off.
If you're going to be that mad, then yeah, you should have done something about it. Just the weird thing about it to me is, like, if you and I were playing a pickup game of basketball right now and I was beating you 10-0 and the last play I, like, accidentally tripped you and scored to win and you were like, this whole game's bullshit because you just tripped me at the end. And I was like, bro, I was already, like, I was about to win. It was 10-0. Like, what the fuck? You're just getting pissed to get pissed right now. Like, that's what Vic Fangio's doing. It's like, bro, you lost the game. Why are you picking this little detail that had nothing to do with you losing the game? Why don't you be pissed about losing the fucking game rather than some unwritten rule at the end of the game that happened? Like, fair. It's just a stupid thing to be pissed about.
Fair. That's a good one. All right, I wanted to touch on a couple of funny things, and I want to touch on that Bill Brady return before we get out, which my brother was at, by the way, and I did need to give a shout-out to my brother, who I haven't said on my pod yet, is coaching high school football, which I do think is pretty cool. Yep. It is at Old Saybrook. I don't know why I keep forgetting to shout this out, but I don't know. That's pretty cool to me. I'm trying to go check out a game. I go check out soccer.
Old Saybrook?
Yeah, I go check out a few soccer games at Smikes coaches. HK shout out for Smikes, soccer head coach. But yeah, no, pretty cool for my brother. My brother was at that Brady return game, which it was raining the whole time. I don't know. He said he had a good time. It was cool to kind of watch that and want to touch on that with you since we covered it a little bit. But a couple of funny random ones to get into here. So I saw. Dude, Patrick Beverley's on the Timberwolves. Is that legit? Like, when did that happen?
He got traded from the Clippers to the Grizzlies, from the Grizzlies to the Timberwolves.
Really?
Yeah.
I just missed that and everything that's been going on in sports because there's just so much to try and keep up on.
There were small
stuff gets swept under the rug real quick, though, when there's so much going on.
The Clippers got Bledsoe in it. Yeah.
Wow. I did not know that. But I saw that he got a technical foul, his first one as a member of the Timberwolves, off the bench, and he was quoted for saying, quote, bravo, I don't give a fuck. And then I saw it was funny, Carl Anthony Towns liked it. Do you think the Timberwolves are going to be any good? Like, well, if we're looking at the West side?
They are.
Like, they talked about them a little bit, but, like, I don't know, dude. I really don't think the Timberwolves will be good, to be honest.
They ended the regular season with, like, a 500 record at the end. I think above 500 record, which is, like, you know, doesn't sound great, but it's good for them to where they've been recently. It was above 500. And after they fired Saunders' kid, they hired Chris Finch, and he was doing really well with the team. Carl Anthony Towns was hurt the first half of last year, and, like, they just looked good the second half of last year. So, like, if D'Lo's looking good, Towns is looking good. Like, I don't know. Anthony Edwards looked way better in the second half of the year than the first half of the year. First half of the year, he was, like, one of the most inefficient shooters and scorers in the league. Second half, he looked a lot better. So Malik Beasley was there the first half. He wasn't even there the second half because of some legal issues. So I think they could be pretty good, to be honest with you. Like, I see them as a 100% as a playing team.
I feel like if you're not
in a playing team, you're fucking up.
I feel like I'm like a nice person and like a genuine good Samaritan and like, I don't know, try to do the right thing most of the time. But like, I also feel like I'm the type of dude that has this Russell Westbrook, Patrick Beverley mentality, which I'm like, bro, I'm basically going to say how I, you know, what I feel. And if you're pissing me off or you're doing something that thing's disrespectful, like I'm not going to be respectful back. So I don't know. I think it's just funny how like some of these players like age, like, I don't know, Patrick Beverley definitely ain't in Russell Westbrook's class, but like these dudes that are known for being like a Tony Allen, like a dude that's kind of known for being a, you know, a grit guy. Yeah. Like a guy that's not going to go out there and like, you know, be Kobe. He's going to go out there and have to be, you know, Dennis Rodman.
If you're going to play in the NBA as a 35-year-old who's not at your athletic prime, you got to have a niche. You got to have something you do well. If you don't have something you do incredibly well, you're gone. Like, it's not going to happen. And that was the issue with, like,
what's Patrick Beverley going to be doing? With you.
That's Patrick Beverley's niche is, like, grit, tenacity, defense. Like, he'll bring an energy that no one else on your team is bringing.
And yeah, which the Timberwolves don't play a lot of defense. So, yeah, that'll be straight. But, like, how many minutes? Yeah, how many minutes are you going to be playing there? And, like, what? Like, I don't know. Like, just,
I think it's more – I mean, don't get me wrong. It's on the court, too, but it's more so, like, maybe a bad example with the Timberwolves because it didn't go so well with Jimmy Butler with him doing this. But, like, having someone in the locker room to, like, push some of these guys, someone that's been there before, played in high-leverage playoff games, has guarded, like, the James Hardens, the Chris Pauls, the Russell Westbrooks. Like, he's not like a LeBron, like all NBA guy, but he's someone that's like been there in the high leverage role and is trusted by his teams. And I think that's valuable to have in your locker room. Like someone that if Anthony Edwards goes like, bro, I'm not doing this. Like I'm the fucking star player. Like Patrick Beverley's not going to be like, you know what? You're right. I'm the ninth man. I'll leave him alone. He's going to be like, shut up, you little fucking bitch, and get in his face. Like that's like what you need when you have a young team, I feel like. So like it didn't go well with Jimmy Butler there, but I think it is something you need with Pat Beverley.
Interesting transition here. I was ranting on some college football the other day. I'm not going to take up too much time on it, but I just need to get in this stat real quick. Because Saturday was the first time in the AP poll history since 1936 where four ranked teams match up between teams 3-0 or better. You had Arkansas and Georgia, Rich. Final score of that game, 37-0. You had Cincinnati at Notre Dame. Cincinnati is a great story, but they're in the group of five. We don't know if they'll make this college football playoff, which basically has two slots left open because Bama and Georgia are going to make it. You had Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin, all this get your popcorn ready, Mike throwing BS bullshit. Up against Alabama, Nick Saban's assistants, 0-23, make it 0-24 as they got blown out. I think it was 42-21. It wasn't that close. And then you had Baylor, Oklahoma State was the other game. I think Baylor, maybe, I don't know, Oklahoma State. One of those two teams won the game. Michigan's 0-4. Here's the thing, bro. College football is just so whack when I just, like, this is why I was telling you yesterday, like, I watch it to try and support it, and, like, I'm into sports. Like, I'm watching some baseball, try and support it, I'm into sports. Like, I don't know. Like I said, I literally would rather watch WNBA playoffs than a college football game, but I'm watching the game because I, you know, that's what's on. And I'm watching some of these games, like, I like to try and watch Coastal games. And Coastal's playing, I don't know, UL Mullane or some bullshit. And the spread was 34.5, dude. I'm telling my brother, I'm like, yeah, bet on it, bro. We'll win 55-5. You know what the final score was, Rich? 59-6, Coastal won. And here's the thing. Like, I'd rather play good teams and lose and say, okay, we're not good enough that, than play these not even Division 1 teams fucking absolutely destroy, and it's like, we still don't have a shot at the playoff anyway. And then last year, when we picked up a game in BYU and won and was undefeated, still don't have a shot at the playoff. Because like I said, it's four when they're talking about a summer review expansion, and that shit's now put on hold. And I just don't understand that with everything else going on in college football and all these things that they're talking about, and the president, Mark Emmert, saying it's a good time to do all this and all that. I'm just like, what? Okay. So for me, I'm like, trying to follow this college football, that's kind of what's going on with it. They hype up these games like they're really good, like the NFL, and some of them are. Like, they have really good slates, and then you have absolute blowouts, not good games. In my opinion, not shit that I want to sit and watch. And when I am sitting watching, I'm like, yeah, this is why I'm playing a video game the entire time. Speaking of that, I think Chewy to get NBA. Hopefully my shit's working today. I don't know. Been playing mad games. My guy's ready to go. So I think I'm going to use my big guy. If you're trying to link up and play ever, be my friend. That'd be cool. Yeah, you mentioned Taylor Heinicke or whatever in the beginning of the pod, giving me a shout out, who I do think will remain the starting quarterback. I don't think Ryan Fitzmagic makes the field again. He led another game-winning drive, which, by the way, I mentioned yesterday in the pod, but it was a J.D. McKissic sweep, which you gave me in a fantasy play. He was on my bench. Didn't matter. I won my matchup anyways. Fuck you, Sean. Atlanta was going to win that game. I mean, there's 46 seconds left. He makes an unbelievable dive, too, like from a 5-yard line, basically. Like, dude, he could have got knocked out and they would have still had to get it. And this dude, Heinicke, bro, who was playing in the XFL literally last year or 2 years ago, and then like what he did up against Brady and the Bucs. I mean, I know they could probably have better dudes at quarterback. I'd also argue Cam Newton. I'm saying the other night, like,
no,
dude,
no.
You think. Nah, and I think everyone's talking all this smoke with. And this is,
Cam Newton's
I'm consistent.
Not better than Heinicke or Fitzpatrick.
All right.
There's no way. There's no way. I'm sorry. He's just not. He's not making those throws that I saw Heinicke make yesterday. I thought you were the Heinicke guy. Why am I arguing Heinicke?
Yeah, I am. I am. I'm not saying that he'd be better than Heinicke. I'm saying that Cam Newton should be in some of these spots that I was trying to argue yesterday.
Cam Newton would be better than Ben Roethlisberger for sure.
Yes. Davis Mills, for sure. Mac Jones, I'd argue that Cam Newton could have won that game the other night. I was saying to Chew and Barry yesterday, they were kind of on me a little bit because they like Mac Jones. Trey Lance is in. Justin Fields and Matt Nagy with all this bullshit between, oh, Andy Dalton's going to be a starter when he's healthy. That's ridiculous. If Andy Dalton goes back in, dude, Matt Nagy should get fired on the spot. And Trey Lance is going to be the guy now going forward. All these guys are in, and they're going to make some mistakes. We've seen it, but they... There are some of these guys that are turning it around a little bit based on them getting some reps and actually playing and making some of these mistakes. And I think all these guys that are now in, they're all in now. All these first rounders, even Davis Mills, who was a sixth guy taken next, he's playing terrible, but he's in. He's in playing. I mean, they ain't even competitive. I think Cam Newton could be in one of these other spots. Ben Roethlisberger's another good one. I don't know what the hell's going on with the Steelers, but they ain't going to be over 500. Tomlin with this winning streak over 500, that ain't happening, bro. I had bets on that, too, with some people at work. That ain't happening. I don't think the Steelers are going to win too many games this year, particularly if Big Ben's still out there. That it's getting ugly for them.
There's only two teams to me that would make sense to see Cam Newton go to, really, and it would be – and one of them I don't think it'll be happening in the Steelers. So
you don't think Cam Newton could have won that game?
One second. I'll explain. It would be the Steelers and the Dolphins would be the two teams where I'd say, like, I think it maybe makes sense. The reason I wouldn't say, like, obviously Cam Newton would be better quarterback situation for the Texans right now. But, like, if you're the Texans or the Jaguars or the Bears, like, your goal right now, like, you're not winning the Super Bowl this year. So they're trying to develop those young rookie guys. So it would be silly to bring Cam Newton in just to win two more games and have your rookie sitting on the bench. So I don't think any of those teams should do that. Even with the Texans, like, yeah, their quarterback situation is pretty bad, but I'd still rather see what I have there than run out Cam Newton just to get two more wins and still do nothing this year. So I think it's all about, like, where you are. The Steelers, I don't think you're letting Big Ben go to bring in Cam. I think it would be better for them. I just don't think they'll do that to Big Ben, like, for what he's meant to them. Like, they'll probably, unless he gets hurt, like, it probably just is what it is with Big Ben this year, and then he's retiring after the year. And it's going to be a gross year for the Steelers. I just don't think, yes, the right football move to do would be start Mason Rudolph. Start anyone else right now, because it's not looking good. But, like, I don't think they're going to do it to him. So, like, yes, Cam Newton would be better. And then that leaves the Dolphins to me, which, like, sure, I don't know. Yeah, Tua's hurt right now. If Tua was there, I'd say you just roll out Tua and, like, try and make it work with him. Like, see what you got. He's the young guy.
But Tua's right going to be back, I think, this week or maybe next week. But it's going to be too late. I mean, they're in some trouble already, dog. They're in some trouble.
Are they 1-3?
Yeah, 1-3. They're in some trouble, though. They're in some trouble.
Yeah, they've probably been the most – granted, there have been some injuries, but they've probably been maybe the most disappointing team this year. The Falcons up there, too. But, like, I think the Dolphins are probably, like – I know you had – not a knock on you. Most people did. I think most people, yourself included, had the Dolphins, like, second by a good bit in their division.
Yeah.
And they still about... could be. They still could be. But, yeah, like, it's looking like a dumpster pile after the Bills.
Yeah, no, I was talking about this yesterday as well. I think the Jets have a chance. I think the Jets win this game up this week in London, 9:30 a.m. Playing the Falcons.
So who do you think right now, knowing what you know, finishes second in the AFC East? I would say the Pats, but I don't know.
No, like I'm thinking it's the Dolphins if Tua can get back out there. I would not be surprised if it's the Jets because I have no faith in the Pats winning more than six games. I mean, literally.
I don't know if any of these teams will. My only thing to feel good about the Pats is, like, one, nothing special, they beat the Jets. But, like, number two, like, you held Tom Brady and the Bucs to, like, 14 points. Maybe a unique situation because they know Brady and everything. But, like, I don't know. Them holding the Bucs and almost beating the Bucs.
All right, yeah. Let's get into this. Yeah.
Than anything the Jets.
This is always a good way to end. This is always a good way to end the pod, which is me and you going back forth about Brady.
Do you not agree with that though?
Do I not agree with what?
That them almost beating the Bucs is more impressive than anything that the Jets or Dolphins have done yet, at the very least.
Yes, but like that was, dude. That to me, okay. This is why I love doing this shit sometimes too, because sometimes I try and explain myself with my takes to you, whatever. Even if I'm not potting, like just trying to explain what I'm trying to say, and sometimes I'm just not good at this stuff, like trying to get my what I'm feeling out. I try my best. Like the second Brady left New England, like I thought the biggest thing, and I was saying this yesterday to the guys, was yo, what is gonna happen now? Like how is this gonna go for Brady? How is it gonna go for Belichick? Bro, Belichick and Arians, it was the first time in NFL history he had two coaches over the age of 69 years old coaching in the same game in that game that we had Sunday night. How long is Belichick going to be around? And what's going on with the Pats, bro? If they're winning 5-6 games with all that money they spent, all these additions they brought in, and everyone now talking, oh, Mac Jones doesn't have enough weapons. Is it the fact that just Mac Jones couldn't make a single throw when it came down to a 3rd-and-3? They didn't go for it on 4th down. They kick a long field goal. To me, that's it. Like, they're in that position to win that game, bro. Bill Belichick had them in position to win that game. He thought kicking a 56-yard field goal in the rain was better than going for it on 4th-and-3. I don't agree with that. And to me, that was a mistake. And I was talking about this yesterday. And if you're trying to go from 1-3 in that division we're talking about, where it's still a little bit up for grabs who's going to be in second in that division, and all things on the line, really, you can go from 2-2 to 1-3, big difference. You don't go for it, you end up kicking that field goal in a game you're up against Tom Brady and got a chance to beat him. I don't know, to me that was a big-time mistake by Belichick. This whole thing with them meeting after the game in the locker room is all kind of this bullshit for me. Like, dude, I don't know. Like, I don't see Belichick being around, at least with the Patriots, much longer. I don't know how much longer Tom Brady's going to be in the league because I was kind of right in the money. I don't want to hear from you. Oh, it was rainy. I don't want to hear from you. Oh, the emotions of the game that I talked about you going into, like, oh, it might be a little, you know, emotional for him. Bro, he didn't look great in that game, Tom Brady. He didn't have a touchdown in that game. He didn't have any picks in that game. I think he was 24 of 46 or something for 200-something yards. I mean, I have to get you their exact stats, but it wasn't great. I know AB dropped a touchdown. I know there were some other balls that normally would be caught. Gronk wasn't there, which I think was an X factor, but I don't want to hear any of that. Tom Brady did not look great in that game. And going forward, okay, let's see. He might look okay going forward, but I don't know. To me, it's the same thing that happened last year. Didn't really look great during the regular season. Got hot towards the end of the regular season. Then had this defense on fire, running game on fire, did enough game managing to win a Super Bowl. Is that going to happen again this year? I doubt it. Is he going to be playing enough? You know, I was arguing with these guys. Did Mac Jones outplay Tom Brady in that game? I mean, he did have an interception, but he also had 2 touchdowns and had 19 straight completions. I'd also argue that he might have. So, you know, this is kind of wild to see how things are playing out for me. For not only the Patriots are now 1-3, Mac Jones, you know, being in that type of situation, their schedule going forward, yeah, they might be able to rattle off a few wins, but not enough to get into the playoff spot. And what does that mean for Bill Belichick? Where a lot of people got Tom Brady making it back into the playoffs, obviously. I still got them potentially losing this division to the Panthers, but a lot of people aren't believers in the Panthers. Who knows when Christian McCaffrey's coming back? And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that rest of that division plays out with the Saints now at 2-2 and the Falcons basically the scum of the earth in that division. I don't know what the hell is good with the Falcons. They should have won that game up against a football team, which would have been huge for me and my Giants, but makes the NFC East even more competitive, and I definitely don't think the worst division in football. Don't want to hear any of that this year. You can go look at the AFC South right now. You can go look at what's going on even in the
I mean, it's the AFC South by a mile.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know, dude. I think I don't know. That was tough for me because that's just another one of those games where, you know, Brady's now going to get hyped up for it. You know, he won his return to...
No one's hyping... Seg, you make up these Brady things. I haven't heard anyone hyping up Brady for that game. Everyone I've talked to has been... I haven't talked to fucking anyone. I work from here. Everyone that I see talking about it has been like, oh, Belichick put, like, a great scheme out there. Like, Belichick, kind of what you said. Belichick messed up there. I haven't heard anyone hyping Brady for that game. I'm not hyping Brady. I haven't heard people hyping Brady.
It's hey, like, bro. All I'm trying to say is you, along with a lot of other people, were hyping Brady up in the type of performance that he was going
to
have heading into this
game.
And I did not expect to see that. And
okay.
I get the weather didn't go down and all this. But, like, this is, like, this stuff for me because he had two good games to start the year, leading the league in, like, 9 touchdowns, all this bullshit. Some of the things he was doing last year, having a couple good games. But, bro, realistically, he could have lost a few games that he didn't lose last year because of this defense and kickers making.
Okay.
Some of the same stuff that happened in that game. So that's the type of stuff I'm trying to say.
We could say that about anyone in any situation.
Yeah, but it's important because here's the thing. Look at the Chargers. Perfect example. And really good example. They're 7-9. When Brady joined the Bucs, they were 7-9. A team that lost a lot of those one possession, one close games. I think the Chargers lost 10 of them last year or something ridiculous.
Because of Anthony Lynn.
But yeah, maybe. But here's the thing, and I like Brandon Staley, but like they're clearly a different team now. And when you win those close games, it matters. And like, I don't know, Bill Belichick used to win those close games too, and he was in position to win that close game even with Mac Jones. So I get what you're saying in that sense.
Those close games.
Yeah, but like that's the thing, bro. That's the thing. I don't know. I still think he should have went for it on the fourth and 3.
I agree.
I mean, I agree.
I was just saying, you were saying people are going to hype Tom Brady for that game. I was expecting better, but I haven't heard people hyping up his performance during that game.
Yeah, but now I'm not saying they're going to hype his performance. I'm saying you're going to hype the fact that he won the game. In my opinion, they shouldn't have won the game.
I don't think they are.
But they will. How many times is he going to play Bill Belichick again?
Never, but most of the dialogue I've heard about it has been like, when you take into context, like, right, everything we have, the Buccaneers being the more talented team right now and them having a chance on the last play to win it coming down to a kick, like, they played a good game. I agree with basically everything you said. Wrong decision by Belichick to go for the kick there. Should have gone for it. Really good game. Nothing that deserves hyping up on Brady's side. Very good game by Belichick and the entire team. Like, I think it was, yeah, I don't know. I think I expect this to be probably the worst game from Brady we see this regular season, because there's no one better fit to stop him than the guy that coached him for 18 plus years.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I expected, but you didn't. You thought he was going to go in there and tear him up. And I don't know. Like, they're gonna have some games.
I got it. Take your victory lap. I gave
you. No. I'm not bashing you. I'm talking more about all this stuff that I hear in general about Brady. Like, I'm not even bashing you. I mean, you said it, so it is kind of funny. But like for example, like they're playing the Falcons. You know, they already played them once, I believe. So they got to play them one more time. They're playing the Panthers twice and the Saints twice. They haven't played them yet. Like, do you think they're beating the Panthers twice and the Saints twice? Like, I don't think so.
I mean, I'm not going to be surprised if they lose a game out of that. I think they come away from all those games with easily an above 500 record. So, like, you know, drop in maybe 1-4 or something like that. I expect them to win their division. I expect them to beat the Panthers for their division by a few games, a game or two.
All right.
That would be my guess. I would be pretty surprised if they didn't. They looked, like you said, you went into a million different excuses that honestly I wasn't going to say. I think the biggest one are, bigger than anything, like missing pieces. One, it hurts him not having Gronk there. Like, the announcer said it a bunch of times. He is a pretty clear safety blanket. But, like, two, I just don't think he's going to have a tougher game than going against Belichick. And it's not an excuse. Like, that was just a well-coached game on defense by Belichick and their defense. So, like, I just don't think Brady's going to have a tougher game than that. I think we just saw his toughest game. Of like, yeah, he could run into a tough team in the playoffs. I think we just saw his worst game of the regular season, though, I'd imagine.
All right. Chewy did give a smats bomb of LeSean McCoy's retirement, which I saw he's going to do at Philly. Yeah, I think it's Eagles, this Friday. Yeah. He has two rings. LeSean McCoy, zero snaps played in those Super Bowls.
He got one with the Chiefs?
Yeah, Chiefs and the Bucks last year.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, he was on the Bucks last year. I forgot about that.
I heard Stephen A. Smith getting booed at the football game last night when they showed him on the big screen, which was actually wild to me. The Monday Night Football game.
Oh, okay.
And I used to be the biggest fan. I still love Stephen A., but some of his takes are wild. I heard this take we were just talking about, obviously, but Mac Jones, Stephen A. goes, "You can't bother to speak Tom Brady's name once in 13 minutes. You better say his name." Like, I don't know. I think about Mac what? Jones... About playing Brady, like, heading into the game. I thought Mac Jones handed himself pretty well. I've been pretty low on Mac Jones, but I do think Mac Jones is going to be an average guy in the league. I've said that. So, I don't know. I'm excited to see how Trey Lance does if he's out there. I think he will be. Justin Fields, I think he'll be out there going forward. Zach Wilson, who had a really good game, and I think they can win this game up against the Falcons, as I mentioned. And Trevor Lawrence, I know he's in Jacksonville with Urban Meyer. I don't think he'll be there much longer, but showing some promise. So, if they get him a new coach... you know, as we were talking about for about 25 minutes yesterday, it's all about coaching. We'll see if that pans out for a guy like, you know, Jalen Hurts. Oh, I think he's got to get thrown in this category as well. And I was kind of shit on Sirianni a little bit, who I really don't like. But
that's what I started this with, the Max Kellerman thing he always did. And I remember saying it at the start of this podcast a bunch, and I think it's very true. NBA, most important piece is your player. Star player will get you where you need to be more than anything else. NFL team, your most important feature is your coach. Great coach will get you there more than anything else. Baseball, the most important piece is your front office. Great front office will get you there more than anything else.
Yeah, which, by the way, I love Max on KJ and Max. I got to try and call into that. And his new show is really fire, too.
I know. I keep saying I got to listen to his new one.
It's really good.
It's
on at 2 o'clock, dude. It comes on at like a prime time for you. 2 to 3. This just in. Max is definitely killing it. You were crushing it today as well. Thanks for stopping in, bro. Maybe we'll catch up on some games. Be watching some of that NBA, hopefully. I'll be trying to catch up on it. I think October 17th, so we're basically 10 days away, a few days from now. What, 12 days away from the opening night in the NBA? I think it's Lakers-Nets. So where's that game at? Either way, you got to be vaccinated to play in it, right?
Just got to have your first shot. So my hot take will be Kyrie's playing in the game.
All right. My hot take is Kyrie won't be playing in the game. And that's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
I did, you know, the best ball thing I had you do on DraftKings for NFL, the draft.
You did one for NBA?
Yeah, I did one for NBA the other night. Got Kyrie super late. People didn't want to draft. Not super late, but later than I think. People definitely didn't want to draft him because of that. I'm like, nah, he's playing. I'll draft him.
Oh, my God. All right, man. Love it. All right. Hopefully I'll link up with you on the games. I'll be around probably playing later or something.
All right, man. Good talking. Peace, bro.
All right, peace. Richie. Trying to link up with Raj today as well. He says he's got some stuff for me. But he says he was just waking up when I reached out. So we'll try and do so another day. I'll try and link up with Raj, East West Coast Exchange, sometime later this week. Come back in, make some game picks. I already got Seattle on this Thursday night football game. Going up against the LA Rams, which will be huge because, you know, I got the LA Rams and my power rankings at 4 right now. I do think the LA Rams are legit. But I also love Russell Wilson, who is the fastest QB to 100 wins based on number of seasons games played. in the league. Shout out Russell Wilson. I think he gets another dub here. Big Thursday night football game for Seattle, who would make them 3-2. LA Rams 3-2. And you got the Arizona Cardinals, the last undefeated team in the NFL at 4-0 after Vegas lose last night to the Chargers, who I also think are legit. I would have the Cardinals 1, Chargers 2, Bills 3, Rams 4, Ravens 5, Browns stay in the 6th slot. Even though Baker Mayfield, 15-33, 2 interceptions, talks about having to play better, ripping himself, missing OBJ, wide open. I always kind of talked about with the Browns, it's literally up to Baker Mayfield. They have everything. Best running attack, really stout defense, one of the best defenses in the league. Plenty of weapons. Jarvis will be back. OBJ there. Looking pretty good. Baker just not looking great. So we'll see how it goes with the Cowboys in the 7th slot. Up 4 for me. Defense is leading the league in turnovers. Trevon Diggs, interception every game. 5 on the year. The offense looking really elite as well. Kind of tough to argue that the Dallas Cowboys aren't looking good, but we'll find a way to mess it up, particularly, I think, with their head coach, Mike McCarthy, and that's where I'm going to stand on that. We'll see if they can get it done this week against my New York Giants. I'll never pick against them in that game, and I won't be picking against them this week, even though I said I wouldn't last week, and I went through $50 on the game. Now that the sports book is open in Mohegan. You know, a lot of things change over time, man. Weren't able to bet on sports. I bitched about that a lot on the pod. College athletes weren't able to get paid. Bitched about that on the pod. All these things that kind of transpire with, obviously, as I started the pod here in the beginning, vaccine, COVID, sports media, social media. It is wild to me, man. You got to be literally mentally strong to not only be around and not only podding, but just in general. You know, it's pretty wild with all the things that have kind of happened to me, and then all these things that's kind of formulated in my sports takes, and I do appreciate that. I have passion for that. I got passion for teaching golf. I'll be looking forward to doing that again soon. Right now, it's been some tough times. Tough month for me here with my mom's birthday at the end of the month, and they say not to live in the past, but for me, it's kind of tough for any of that when a lot of the great times I had in the past. And I was talking a little bit about Rich, just youth sports for me, everything that sports brought for me my entire life, and now kind of talking about it now, seeing these things formulate, seeing these life changes happen for not only myself, but people around me. It's life, right? That's what they say. But, you know, just like they say, you can get cancer any day, you can die any day, anything can happen to you any day. That's also very scary to me. All these things that kind of happen in fruition, with it being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, as I mentioned, Domestic Violence Awareness Month, as I mentioned. All these great things that happen. Bubba Wallace, first black NASCAR driver to win on a Cup Series event since 1963. Wendell Scott. All these great stories you can see out there with all these great games as well. Baseball tonight. Wild card, AL wild card, Red Sox, Yankees, NBA preseason, soon to be regular season, NFL week 5 starting up a day from now. I mean, it's just all kinds of stuff happening with all this bad negativity as well. There's a lot of positives to take, and when you're down, depressed, you got to try and look for that positive stuff. For me, it's passion for sports, passion for hopefully teaching golf here pretty soon, and trying to just be the best person I can be with all these things that have kind of happened to me. I know I'm always rhyming, but you know, that's what I try and do. That's all I have for the airwaves today. Appreciate all listening, as always. And as always, still have a nice shame what I had to say. Just a man with a nickname. Till next time, everybody. Peace and love. Stay safe out there. Much love for Rich. Stopping through. You're listening to Seggy Station.